Our gospel for this Palm Sunday comes from Mark chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So today, we begin our journey of what I call sensory overload. This week is like the feeling of trying to drink water through a fire hose. So much stuff happens, beginning today, that it's a sensory overload. And I would imagine that this sensory overload is loaded with expectations and hopes. I would assume you expect to hear a sermon this morning, and I hope that you actually get one. Or I hope that you find some hope within this sensory overload this week. So there was this little girl that came to worship on Palm Sunday. And after they got home, the father asked her what she had learned. And so she said she learned all about the crowds waving palm branches and singing a song to Jesus. So the father asked, "Well, what song did they sing?" And the little girl paused and she said, "I think it was 'Oh, Susanna.'" What are the next words? I tried to think of it all the way here this morning. What are the next words? Of course the choir would know this. Fantastic. Epic crowds of people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem that day, singing, "Oh, Susanna," or actually, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And I would imagine there were some expectations in that crowd of people. They were welcoming this potential liberator from the oppression of Rome. And this entry was one of the wildest and most politically explosive acts of Jesus' ministry, someone said this week. People would have been used to kings processing into town, parades and processions of people welcoming a king on a war horse, a king that would signify his mastery of his statecraft, a king that would signify that peace was going to come through his winning of the war. And here comes a different kind of king sitting on a donkey, a sign of peace. So people were probably asking themselves, what kind of Messiah, what kind of king will this be? Where was his armor? Where was the pomp and grandeur they expected from a leader? So the people that gathered, they joined this procession expecting and hoping for this long-awaited Messiah. They had heard these amazing stories about this man feeding the thousands of people with 2 fish, 5 loaves, about his ability to heal, even raising Lazarus from the dead. Happened right before coming into Jerusalem. So could this be, they wondered hopefully, the one they had been waiting for, Now, many of the people that were gathered there had come to town for the Passover. So maybe they got caught up in whatever procession was happening in the excitement of the day, and they started waving their branches they had cut from the field. Only John's gospel says that it was palm branches. So maybe we should have gone outside here and cleared our yard and waved some of our branches to welcome this king. This king that would actually exceed all their hopes and expectations and bring about a peaceable kingdom. I think Jesus kind of came in like a rock star. Somebody last night said it was like the Woodstock in the 60s. Was anyone there? Nobody's going to admit it. And that's okay. But that's what somebody said last night. They were thinking of this Woodstock atmosphere, and this rock star came in bringing hope to the people. And people were there because they wanted to believe. They had hope. Scripture says, hope that springs eternal in the human breast. Scripture also says, where there is life, there is hope. And the crowds had it. But yet, it was a little bit fragile. Because by the end of the week, the crowds were replaced by a few faithful people, faithful friends that stood on a hill outside Jerusalem that we call Calvary. So somewhere in there, there was a little bit of loss of hope. I mean, the people wanted Jesus to come and upset the apple cart, and he did that. I mean, right after this parade, the day after the parade, he comes back into Jerusalem, into the temple, and wrecks a few things. And then some huge things happen in his life this week. Near the end of the week, 12 disciples are gathered with Jesus for the Passover meal. And those close to him said that they would never lose hope. Those of us that are blessed to get to know the rest of the story already, we know that that is fragile hope as the week continues on. Now, have you ever lost hope before? A heartfelt prayer that didn't come in the way that you had expected? A spouse, a significant other, or a loved one that was not delivered from cancer? Maybe a son or a daughter that was not kept free from addiction? Maybe a deserved promotion that went to someone else? Maybe things are going the wrong way or the way you don't think they should go at work or at school or at home. How do you keep your hope in the midst of those difficult situations? Because things do go wrong in this world. But it is hope that sustains us. Last night, I was blessed to be a part of what was happening at the pavilion. I'm not sure if you're aware. We had about 14,000 people at the pavilion last night for the Road Show, which is a Compassion International event where Mercy Me, David Crowder, Matt Mayer, and a bunch of other musicians were there to join in this celebration of Jesus. And Compassion International is an organization that sponsors children around the world. Our youth at this church are sponsoring Jose. And I have my own child I sponsor now, too, after last night. But it's an event sponsored by Compassion International to help people, help children around the world, be fed, educated, clothed, receive medical care. So I got to volunteer at this event last night. And I got to work with two ladies who came with completely different expectations and experienced two completely different things. One lady was so excited when she would look around at the grass at the pavilion, which was shoulder-to-shoulder people, and every seat down below was full. And you could see people, half the crowd, hands raised, singing every word to every song, praising God through every piece of music. And she was so excited. She was giddy. She was like a three-year-old jumping up and down and playing. So excited that so many people were together celebrating this amazing love. And then on the other side of her, we had the skeptic, We had the skeptic that said, "This is great that so many people are gathered, but I wonder how many hearts will be changed tonight and how many lives will be saved for Jesus Christ." Her expectation was very different. Well, all three of us got to go behind the scenes last night and sit with David Crowder and Matt Meyer, and we were having this conversation together. We're on the second to the last tour that they're doing this year. So they've been doing this for a long time and had a lot of different conversations with ladies like us. One of us very awestruck to get to be there, the other two mixed emotions. And we started talking about these expectations. And they said, "Our only hope is that people will know. That people will know that they are precious and they are loved. And that the hope in this world is so much bigger than each one of us alone." Matt was talking about his song, "Love That Holds Us Together." It's a beautiful song about just that. Jesus' amazing love that will hold us together even when we have differences in hopes, differences in expectations. That this will be the love. Matt was talking about this week of Palm Sunday being that week that we get to be reminded that this red carpet, my words, red carpet, is rolled out for each one of us. That the beginning of this drinking from the fire hose sensory overload is a reminder for each of us that we are loved. And so I got to thinking about love. And I remember this great philosopher saying, "To love is to suffer." It's a great love, isn't it? Because in many ways, God's love scares me. Because this love reveals that love, it's not a longing to seize and hold on to another person. Jesus' love gives fuel for the glimpse of endurance through suffering. Not sentimental love, but endurance through hard times. A love that we can't have on our own, but a love that is poured out in a red carpet for us and with us. That's why I also think we can't go from the glory of today to the glory of next Sunday without everything that happens in between. Without being reminded that we come to a table where that suffering and endurance is given most wholly. And that that red carpet welcomes you to this meal. And we also can't forget to journey to the cross and to the grave. Where even in the grave, God says, "You are not without me. I am with you in all things." This is the Hosanna that we praise today. This is the red carpet, fire hydrant, drinking, sensory overload journey that we begin today. Welcome to Holy Week.